Firstly, I'd like to thank all the session organizers for inviting me to give a presentation here. And it's also my great honor to give the third talk from the Chinese Academy of Sciences. I'm from the Institute of Soil Science located in China, in Nanjing. Okay, I'd like to tell you where I'm from and also remind you of Chinese comrades where in Nanjing. And here, this is Nanjing. I'm from, here we go. I think you all know that China is an image of big country, big population, and economically developed very quickly. But I want to tell you this another image of China. It's we call, I like to say that China is also a unified country. Let's see the water body system in China nowadays. According to the survey, in 2005, the water quality for the class below the third, that means it's good water is about 60.9%, but in 2006, this percentage dropped to 58%. And you can imagine this figure, this percentage will decrease again and in 2007. And I suppose you have learned this event. This is really the event happened in 2007. It's arginine bromine in Tai Lake or Taihu Lake, sometimes we say. And this is actually the Tai Lake is the third largest lake in China with 300 square meters. But because of water pollution, this arginine bromine occurred in 2007 and also in 2008 actually. And then seven million residents drinking water was affected. So they couldn't get the safe drinking water when arginine bromine event occurred. And they had to use to buy this mineral water for cooking and also for living. So what's the pollutant source for the causing this water eutrophication? According to our results, we estimate that about for nitrogen, about 40% of the nitrogen load is from agricultural field. Although this figure is also uncertain and debated. So in this region, anyhow, this rice is an important crop, but fertilizer, nitrogen, is applied in high amount, but very low efficiency. Then this nitrogen loss from paddy field to the water body quality is become a big concern. You can see this is a small river. It's local residents still use this water, although this water is covered by algae already. So several years ago, we did a case study along this region. This is a site of our case study, and with totally a demonstration area was about 200 kilo square meters. And in this region, we have a lot of rivers. It's a river net area. So sometimes the river water enters the Tai Lake, or sometimes water from Tai Lake enter the river. So all the agricultural fields could be the potent source to the water system by this water net area. So we use this working flow for to do this case study. At firstly, we did the background survey, and in this area, we found that agricultural production is high, but with a high amount of chemical fertilizer input. This is a national average of about 300 kilograms per hectare for nitrogen. But in all sites, this amount is about double. It's about 600. And for the phosphate, in also the almost double amount of phosphate fertilizer is applied in this region as compared to the national average amount. And I think you all know that's the nitrogen cycle in the soil rice system. And then we measured all those nitrogen pathway parameters to see what is the nitrogen from or enter this water body. And we measured our volatilization, also the precipitation, and also uptake of balance, and also leaching. This is the apparatus we used for measuring those nitrogen loss or pathway. According to this, our figure, our study shows this. In this site, about 20 to 30% of nitrogen was lost as ammonia volatilization. And then about 5 to 10% of nitrogen was lost as a rainfall. But leaching is not important pathway, only less than 1%. But besides the nitrogen loss, there's some environmental source nitrogen enter the plant agricultural field. According to estimation, it's about 40 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen enter the agricultural field by irrigation water pathway. And or by rain precipitation, about 15 to 30% to 30 kilogram per hectare in this site. But with those background survey, we did a field experiment to decide what is the suitable ratio of nitrogen, phosphate, and potassium ratio input in the agricultural field. And we did this field experiment, and we found it's actually this ratio of N1, P1, K1 is a suitable ratio for this region. And this is amount of for nitrogen is only 180 kilograms, and but farmer use almost 300 kilogram for rice season. This is for rice season. So it's a farmer used too much nitrogen fertilizer during the rice season. With the suitable ratio of NPK, then we decided what's the suitable nitrogen input among this region, because as we know, that's the nitrogen content in the soil varied spatially. So according to this spatial variation, the phosphate, we didn't see that's a big spatial variation. So that's one side or two sides nitrogen input experiment could be used for this side, whole area. But because of nitrogen spatial variation, we couldn't use directly only one side. Then we did several size field experiments to see this is the whole curve several years. And we found, again, it's for this area, not for on one side, for this area, 20 square kilometers area, and the fawn is about 180 kilogram nitrogen, yes, suitable one. But farmer use for this area is about 250. It's still farmer use too much nitrogen fertilizer. For the potency, although potency has a special variation, but it doesn't affect the nitrogen loss so much to, and enter the water body. So we didn't think it's to do this potency control experiment. By this total nitrogen input, and then we decide what's the suitable nitrogen distribution during rice growth season. And we use several treatments like 50% of total nitrogen as basal, and 30% or we cut 20% of total nitrogen input in the area in the early stage. It's as a basal apply, and we found it's actually this ratio. Even we cut 20% of nitrogen input as a basal could achieve same yield for the rice. Then with this cut, we can reduce the ammonia volatilization greatly, and this is for ammonia volatilization. And we found this ammonia volatilization decreased rapidly. Sorry, it's in Chinese. But this is a 20% cut of nitrogen input as the basal dressing. So all those things measures we used for to control ammonia volatilization. But before ammonia volatilization, nitrogen loss also another pathway is nitrogen runoff. So we have to find the measures to control the nitrogen rainfall. Then we designed this pathway of nitrogen removal from drainage water by a system we call econotunnel. By this econotunnel, and this we plant the plants here and also here, and this also we put this some boxes and our grow plants as a terminal of this tunnel, and also as a small kind of a dam. I'm not sure, but to say a dam or not, I should or not, but it's just to block the water flow. So by this system, we can reduce the nitrogen, remove the nitrogen about half of nitrogen from the drainage water again. So see, it's with 111 kilogram nitrogen input from beginning of the tunnel, and after at the terminal of the of tunnel, I found it's about 44% of nitrogen was removed. This is a picture shows this ecosystem for removing of nitrogen and phosphate. Of course, also phosphate removed from drainage water and the sea. And this is for use for the summer season, and it's also winter season. We grow different plants here. This figure shows its total average of nitrogen and phosphate removal rate from drainage water by the ecosystem. This is for total nitrogen and total phosphate from water, drainage water. And this the outlet of the, so it's at the terminal of the tunnel terminal, and this C the both nitrogen and phosphate content concentration decreased sharply as compared to the water level. It is quite stable around 3 years. And we compare this tunnel with a loading tunnel and to see with drainage water removal. This is a routine tunnel. This is river water total nitrogen, and this all econo tunnel. So with all econo tunnel, the drainage water contains much less nitrogen and phosphate. I always believe this technology is important, but also information transfer and also technology transfer is also important for environmental management. So we think that all scientists' roles play important, but also for local government and also farmers. And this is show this at introductions of scientists and local government and farmers. So we did a demonstration and lecturing to the government, local government officials, and also other scientists and farmers. And also we believe that farmers involving in this system is important, and this to see when they have to pass some regulation for environmental control, they have to vote yes or no, and then to see for the environmental management. And we did some, we use a cartoon as a, also a tool to educate farmers how to protect the environment and also for the better management of the fertilizer. And also lecturing to the local farmers and also local candidates. Because nowadays in China, it's women's important power actually in agricultural system. So we developed a system to distinguish women prize to see the women who did very well in the fertilizer management and also water environmental protection, to give this prize to those distinguished women. And also use this statue as tools to educate the local farmers. And also use this mass media for educate, also to educate broadly. I'd like to use this ammunition to summarize what we did as a case study in this area. Firstly, we control this nitrogen or phosphate suitable input. Don't use too much nitrogen and phosphate fertilizer in the field. Then we developed this econo system. With this econo system, we can remove this the nitrogen and phosphate in drainage water. About half of nitrogen and phosphate can be removed by the ecosystem. And then we see we can reduce this nitrogen and phosphate pollutant for agricultural field into water body. I'd like to set a summary of my presentations. I think it's to optimize the fertilizer application is important for both of agriculture and environment. And nowadays, actually, in Thailand region, fertilizers is overused. At least 20 to 30% of nitrogen phosphate is overused. And this overuse of nitrogen fertilizer dangerous as water body system in China. And also technology for optimal measurement of fertilizer use in rice production has been developed, like some technologies we developed in this case study. But policy and social issues are also important, actually as important as technology. Of course, we need to develop more technologies like with simple, easy to use, then farmers can adopt this simple and easy to use technology easily. Nowadays, even always, all systems, that's national removal, percentage is still low, efficiency is still low. With this construct of wetland system in China, only about 50%, 50 to 60% of nations could be removed. And for all ecological system, only about half of nitrogen and phosphorus could be removed, but with about 200 meters long tunnel. So this is still, we have to develop this system more efficiently. And I think it's for the future to improve this system, we needed to find a more efficient plant species. And also to enhance this rhizosphere processes, because nitrogen and phosphorus is taken up by plant roots in the rhizosphere area. If we can enhance this rhizosphere processes, we can improve this system efficiency. And also for nitrogen cycling in new cropping system, better to, for better water quality. Now use farmer use better like rice or alfalfa rotation system instead of rice wheat rotation system. And also as for all, even of all internal system, we had to improve this efficiency of nitrogen phosphate removal. I'd like to thank this all my colleagues, Professor Yaling Zhang and Wang Dejian and others, two scientists from our institute. All those scientists contribute all these presentations. Thank you very much.
We certainly have time for some questions. Right here in the front.
Well, it's a hard question to be answered, it's because Thai Lake region is too large, and every scientist or even government has a figure of this portion. But I would like to say that for non-point source pollution, I think about 50% or sometimes 40% of pollutant for nitrogen is believed from entering the Thai Lake region. And the remaining half is point source pollutant. But some scientists say up to 60% of nitrogen is from this non-point source pollutant. Yes.
50%
is from water source pollution. What's the current policy regulating such water source pollution? All recommendations. When I'd like to explain this contribution of those remaining half of nitrogen pollutant. About half again from agricultural field, and then the remaining for the poultry, husbandry, the protein from husbandry. Of course, it's the percentages are all very changes, the place and place. And then it's all recommendations to control, at firstly, fertilize the nitrogen and phosphate input amount. According to our study, actually, farmers use overuse about 20 or 30% of nitrogen phosphate in this area. So we recommend to have a total amount of input control and then to reduce this natural phosphate input. And second, we recommended this to develop systems like recorder system, because because actually in nowadays the farmers own this their own lands, but this unit size is very small in China. It's each family about 0.1 or less than 0.2 hectare of a paddy field. And then they dig the hole for the drainage water, for water to be drained and directly enter the river, not the tunnel, enter the river, suppose it's just river, and they dig a hole from each family, dig a hole and for the drainage water drainage directly into the river. So with second suggestion is to develop this tunnel system, so the water is not drainage directly into the river, but instead enter this tunnel and we develop this tunnel like more plants to remove this nitrogen again. And say at least if drainage water didn't enter the water body directly, some nitrogen phosphate can be removed.
One more question, and then we'll move to our last speaker.
What kind of plant species do you use in the kind of terrain? Do you have to harvest plant species periodically?
It's because I can't speak. It's the name of a plant in Latin or English, but it's the way you use this local plant species. Species, and we screen this, which plant species is more efficient or not, and then we found out which one is the most efficient in the local area. We didn't use this invasive foreign plant species, otherwise it will cause another environmental problem.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.